on 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio, on the Pulse 2 app and online at pulse2.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Aaron the Power Bauer, Super Mario Elliot Minchella, the Reggae Warrior Ross Peltier, and Robbie Hunter Paul.
Kia ora and g'day and welcome to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show live here at Pulse 2 Studios. In the house we have Aaron Bauer. We don't have Elliot Minchella. We don't have Ross Peltier. They're both preparing for their trip to play Toulouse. But we do have none other than Huddersfield Giants Super League star himself. He's a boy wonder. That's what he's been telling me off air, that is. Darnell McIntosh. Round of applause. It's his first time on the RHP show. G'day, Darnell.
Good day, man. How are you?
I'm very good, mate. Good. See, the way radio works, though, you got to talk into the microphone.
All right, yes.
He's just so cool. He's so laid back. He's just chilled out. Exciting show for you guys this afternoon, this evening. We're going to be talking to these guys. We're going to be catching up about the Huddersfield Giants. See what's they're going on to next, because they're one of four teams sitting at the bottom of the table on 14 points. Even though, actually, when you look at their team on paper, they should never be there. But we'll get to the bottom of it. We know we will. In the second part of the show, these guys are going to wax lyrical about a topic of their choice. Third segment of the show is given over to you guys and your questions. They have been coming in, loads to talk about. And in the fourth segment of the show, we'll be looking ahead to the upcoming games this weekend. So let's get into it. Come on, Darnell, from the top, tell us what's going on at Huddersfield.
I don't know, mate. It's a very up and down season that we've had. Obviously, we've had patches where, you know, we've looked great. Started slow.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That form again that you had at the back end of 2018 looked awesome. And then since the Magic weekend, I think it's been, four losses on the bounce?
Yeah, we've had four losses on the bounce. And it's not a lack of effort that we've been trying. You know, we're not happy with it at all. We're just trying to find his way back into his groove again, hopefully get a few people back that have been injured. You know, when you're missing out key people for a long period of time, you know, it disrupts everything in the club. It does disrupt training. And then obviously that follows through into games. And probably at the minute we're just lacking a bit of confidence, but you know, these last few weeks preparation wise that we've had, they've been probably some at best that we've had, so we know that we're building towards something big at the minute.
I'm going to ask this question to Aaron just quickly. Four teams sitting on 14 points at the bottom of the table. Do you think that Huddersfield are sort of newly introduced to the bottom of the table now?
Yeah.
Do you think that they're running a real risk of dropping out and relegation fight?
They're obviously running a risk because they're the level bottom of the league, but Darnell's right in a sense that, you know, there are teams above them who've been very lucky, or not a combination of luck and, you know, various other factors, that they managed to keep, you know, their spine and their pivots fit all year, and you can't really underestimate how important that is. I mean, Huddersfield are playing Salford tomorrow night, and Salford are probably the big example, aren't they, that Evels, Lussick, Louis, although he's gone now, and Hastings have pretty much played every game. And when you've got that sort of fluidity, not just, you know, people forget that it's not just about the game, it's about the four or five training sessions in the week as well, and everything you do leading up to the game. That's massive. London, I know London are bottom of the league now, but London have had a really settled spine. So, you know, if London were to get one or two injuries, you'd wonder what would happen to their form. So, I don't know. I think it's probably a three-way battle. I think probably, having seen Leeds last weekend and seen what Louis brought to them a little bit, I think they've got probably the capabilities to pull away in the next few weeks. Huddersfield on paper, I mean, you know, I've said it before, when Gaskell plays, and when Gaskell plays well, makes a massive difference to Huddersfield. They just need to get some sort of fluidity in the game. And, you know, everyone was talking about Wakefield this time last week as, oh, Wakefield are going to get sucked in if they lose. Well, I was at Wakefield today and Chris Chester's talking about, well, we're only 2 points off fourth now. So it's mad, really. You only need to jag a win from somewhere. And if Huddersfield can get one tomorrow night and results go their way, they might only be a couple of wins off of five. They might be as close to fourth or fifth as they are to the bottom of the league. So while it doesn't look great at the minute, there's still 9 games left. There's still 18 points to play for. If you put a run of 3 or 4 wins together, you've seen that.
We did last year,
didn't
it?
Yeah.
You know, like you said, it's very tight. You know, four teams at the bottom, more than 14 points. You know, it's very rare. And like you said, you know, that top five spot, it's not that far away. So, like you said, if we can just string a couple of games together and get us confidence, people stop talking about, you know, or where they were. You know, we always say it's how you finish off the season, it's not how you start. So, like I said, we've got 9 games left, and we're pretty confident in this playing squad that we've got. And like being a tight-knit group that we can really pull out of that and get away from that bottom four.
I'll say this now, and I say it all the time, especially if they're a club that I played for. So they're not going down.
No.
So I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried at all. I'm just waiting.
Yeah.
I got to admit, I get a little impatient sometimes, but I'm, you know, you guys can pull together. Let's talk about yourself. A breakthrough season for yourself. I know that you come into the Super League in 2018, but look, regular starter, been really making that fullback position your own. You've played some incredible games. You have the ability and the luxury, I guess, from a coaching point of view, to not just play a fullback. You can slot in anywhere in the back line, albeit, you know, put a couple of years on you, a little bit more timber on the frame. You're in the pack as well.
No, we'll stay far away from that.
Start line centre, then back row.
I'm not getting pushed into that middle.
You're tall enough to end up a donkey, you know that.
I'm not going nowhere near that middle.
So, come on, how's 2019 be for you? Real challenge, but also, you know, exciting. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah. Obviously, going into it, it's probably the most excited I've been. I think this might be my third season now where I've been playing consistently, but this has definitely been my biggest task, where going in, I had a lot of responsibility put on my shoulders. You know, Simon, he gave me one shirt. So, when we have other people, I've seen other fullbacks come and go, and they kind of went and it got put on me. So I knew it was going to be a big year for me. So I did all preparation that you can. You know, everyone knows all the hard work gets put in pre-season. So, you know, I did. I worked in pre-season. And then, but end of the day, personally, I probably haven't been too happy with it. You know, like I said, I've been good in patches, but I want to be known as one of them very consistent players that, you know, any day is coming out, he's going to put out a minimum 7 out of 10 performance. You know, I don't want to be dropping below that. But at the same time, you know, I'm still young. You know, I'm still 21 at the minute, so I'm still just trying to work towards it and make it my own.
That's disgusting.
I'm just trying to find my feet really in game, especially in this position. But like I said, having the luxury to play a few positions, you know, it's just letting me really not fall off that pedestal too much. You know, if I'm falling off, Germ knows he can quite easily slot me in at a wing or something like that. So, you know, I'm not getting too disheartened at the minute. I'm just hoping, really, I'm kind of putting personal goals aside now. I'm just trying to work towards the end of the season, get hammered through these last 9 games.
I love that everyone calls him Germ. I love it. Why do they call him Germ?
Honestly, I don't know.
Oh, really?
Honestly, I don't know. It's just when he came. Yeah. Like, I'm Germ.
So he introduced himself as Germ.
Yeah, to me, yeah.
Do you remember being 21, Aaron?
Vaguely. Yeah, it was good.
Those days, those good old days. So let's look. I know that you can't give too much away in regards to the starting lineup this week, but a little birdie of my, a friend of mine that actually operates out in Featherston knows that Tom Holmes has been called back into the into the Huddersfield Giants squad. A really talented young halfback. Has he trained with you guys this week?
He has.
How's it look?
Since he come back, I think he's been training fully for about 2 and a bit months now. Obviously, he had a really bad injury last year whilst we were out.
His knee off, didn't he?
Yeah, his knee were gone. So for him to come back, and obviously I've only known from the start of this year, and just see someone, when you see some rugby players, see their physically gifted or whatever, you can tell he's just naturally gifted in his skill and his ball playing abilities. You know, he just knows how to read the game really well.
He kills it in the championship.
He does. And
he's been working really well with Dane Chisholm in the Hearts of Featherston.
My first year in Super League, obviously you were at Cass at the time, and even though I weren't wing, he was giving me an absolute nightmare that game. So, you know, we know he can still do it at that level. So I think he's just been working towards that last few weeks at Fev, and then hopefully if he gets his chance tomorrow night, I think we've all got loads of confidence in him that he's going to go out and put on a good performance.
It's a good acid test as well, championship now.
It is.
The gap's closer.
I was just about to say
the gap's
then.
Closer now.
Yeah.
So it's not one, you know, once upon a time you send a kid to the championship, you still have reservations about chucking him into a Super League game. But I think now, you know, a lot more full-time teams in there. Toronto, Toulouse in particular, have signed a lot more experienced players.
The Bulls have a lot of full-time players.
Yeah, there's a lot
players,
of quality in that competition now. I think you've seen it this year, haven't you? London knocked Halifax out and Bradford... Halifax knocked London out and Bradford knocked Leeds out. So the quality and the standard is definitely
I mean,
up.
Years gone past in the Challenge Cup, maybe one championship team has got lucky
to
get a couple.
Yeah.
And, you know, what would have happened if Toronto had been in the competition as well?
Yeah,
and maybe
exactly.
Toulouse as well. I mean, some of those Super League clubs were, you know, they were struggling at that time. Here's a question to you, Aaron. Rob Louis leaves Salford last week. Obviously, the swap deal with Tuimoala Lolahea. Jackson Hastings pinned his flag to Wiggins.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Everyone's saying that that is a done deal. Do you not think that that will create instability for their season coming in for the rest of the year? We're saying Josh Jones, is it again?
Josh Jones has gone. Olfitz is going. Griffin's going.
So you were talking about that consistency with all those
players.
That's
an interesting dynamic with Salford. And like I said,
Huddersfield at the moment going, yeah, please, please.
the comp is the way it is at the minute, that if Huddersfield win tomorrow, you know, everyone's talking about Salford as like they're really overachieving and Huddersfield are really underachieving. There's only 2 points between them if Huddersfield win tomorrow night. Mm. And the dynamic, like you say, is that five or six of their players, including the star man in Hastings, is going at the end of the year. You know, we're not suggesting for a minute that these guys are chucking in the towel because they know they're getting paid by someone else next year, but that's an interesting dynamic when there's five or six of them, not just one or two of them. Yeah. You know, half of your starting lineup, you know you're going. The team knows it's getting broken up.
The Rob Louis gets ripped out in the middle of the season. That's what I find.
Yeah, well, that's
hard
like
stomach.
We said. That was
especially like
that was Salford's big positive, wasn't it? Like we said that the spines just played the whole season. And asked Darnell how much better Huddersfield would have been if he'd have had the same halfbacks in front of him every week. You know what I mean?
It just gets consistent for the whole team. You know what you're going into each week. You know what you get from each player, and you start building them relationships with each other. But as, like I said, as soon as one of them gets ripped out, it only takes one, and you know it can be a knock on effect, and it gets passed on. So it'd be interesting to see how they deal with that.
Mm-hmm, yeah. He says that with a bit of a grin on his face. Okay, we're going to go to a break now. When we come back, we're going to be talking. Oh, actually, we've got a team of the week also. So amateur all-star team of the week. An interesting one, actually, I think, coming up. And then we'll also be hearing from the boys. Going to spit lyrical about a topic of their choice, anything they want. But before we do go to the break, let's have a look at the roads.
Live on 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio, on the Pulse 2 app and online at pulse2.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live in the studio with Darnell McIntosh and Aaron Bauer. We've got a team of the week this week, and it is none other than West Yorkshire Fire Services. They're playing West Yorkshire Police. So the Fire Service take on the Police next Friday at Headingley, ahead of the Rhinos versus Holkar clutch game. We're both teams on 14 points today. So this is next week, so it's going to be a tough game next week. But also, this is going to be an exciting game, and we caught up with them.
The RHP Show Team of the Week.
Yes, hello. My name's Rob Hart. I'm a watch commander with West Yorkshire Fire Service, and I'm currently the coach of the new formed rugby league team that we've got. We started about 12 weeks ago, started initial training, obviously with a view to playing against the Police at Headingley. We've had a couple of warm-up games. Started with Brighouse, a local amateur team. Had a bit of a hit with them guys, and then last week we played in a cup, a GMB cup at Huddersfield against the Yorkshire Ambulance Service, which we managed to come out the victors there, 21-0, a very, very tough game. Basically, we've got the big one, which is it's the inaugural Emergency Services Trophy that's going to be played for at Headingley, and that's on the 12th of July, and that's as a curtain raiser before the Leeds Rhinos and the Hull KR game. So it's going to be a monumental task for us because they're a very, very strong, established side, but, you know, we feel we're going to be able to compete well with them. Basically, it's a double header, so you get down there, I think the kick-off's at 5:30 for the Emergency Services Cup. So if you get down there, get your tickets, basically you'll see two fantastic games of rugby. Hopefully we can prevail and then so can the Rhinos. I'm a Rhinos fan. I used to love the days watching the Bulls and the Rhinos in the tussles, and hopefully that'll come again in future.
The RHP Show Team of the Week.
And there you have it, an exciting game coming up ahead, and I think there's everything to play for. I think actually the services get together and they choose an international team. They go down under and they play...
I think that's right.
Other services teams from around the world, don't they?
Corresponders,
And they also have tournaments, don't they, where like the armed forces will play police. Yeah, and that. So all the services have that's brilliant. Anyway, get along and support them. It's going to be a clutch game, everything to play for also. So if you're in that part of the world and you've got nothing to do on that Friday night, I think it is. Okay, let's talk about a 30-second rant. And I'm going to do it this time because obviously... Darnell's new to the show and Aaron can't think of anything, but it's let's go. 3, 2, One, Robbie's on time. So I'm talking about social media and clubs posting social media. Now, what come into light with Warrington Wolves, I think they did a couple of months ago, where they started putting out some really cheeky social media posts. And last night, the Bradford Bulls put out one where they did, it was an atrocious hack. But because it was so bad, I thought it was absolutely brilliant. Now, a lot of people make comment on saying, this is just terrible, terrible, terrible. But that is what's brilliant about social media. It's there to have a bit of fun. And just to finish off on that note, because obviously that's 30 seconds, over, I think it's 11,000 people have viewed it. It's one of the best posts that actually, in 24 hours, they've got engagement.
It's not how they were intending it to go down, but got the reach on it. That's the thing. Like,
look,
I thought it was different.
You thought it was ugly.
Yeah, it was awful.
But it was, wasn't it beautifully ugly?
Or then be laughed at, not laughed with. No, The thing is,
social media is... works when it's either really good or really bad.
Yeah, and that was really
so
bad.
So glad they were good.
They knew it was really bad. I know the guys that did it, and they knew it was really bad, but that was the point of it. You get a repost by Toulouse, who they're going there, where we're waiting. We can't wait for years to come. So influencer marketing, so, you know, reinforced by those. And
I wonder what the players think of it. Ross tweeted a red card gifting it. Like,
but even that gives it punch and power, doesn't it? It starts the conversation, and that's what social media is all about. I think as a sport, we honestly take ourselves too seriously.
Yeah.
And if it's a website, I don't think it's a place for the web. Website is a little more analytical. It's a newsworthy and thing. But social media... it's in the name. Social. It's not LinkedIn. It's not a business medium. You know, I think, again, maybe a little more appropriate for Instagram, because it's more of a sort of jovial, more humorous, sort of funny type of place, and that type of platform as well. But Twitter, they've got the reach on Twitter, so you probably want to get that message as far as possible. Well, I thought it was good.
Oh, yeah, I think there's some massive personalities in rugby. And I think, players, everyone says we're not right in the head, majority of rugby players. So what they do is...
It's reflective of the core product.
Yeah, but...
deliveries.
Yeah, I think we need to get out there more. Like you said, like, use it more. Like, I remember Warrington, I think it were... after they played at Magic Week, and the interview with Tom Lydon speaking about his feud with Jet Patton, it were absolutely brilliant.
I didn't get it. I didn't understand what was going on.
But we've got massive personalities like that. I think we definitely need to tap into it a bit more.
Now, from the media's point of view, now you guys have such an influence over everything that you're doing. You control public perception, even though you report, you're just telling the truth. Yeah. But what is the truth? It's a version of a perspective, isn't it?
Yeah, and you are right.
A bit deep.
Rugby league does obsess about itself too much and worry about itself. And the thing we were talking about last week, the guys who want to play for Great Britain, the Austins and Widdops and people like that, and literally everyone in rugby league is trying to pretend that they're a purist and saying, we don't want it.
But it happens in
every other sport. Like, there's a Cricket World Cup going on at the minute, and like, England's captain's Irish.
Stokes the is quick, a Kiwi.
Yeah, the quickie bowler is from Barbados, Archer. So, like, you know...
Well, Stokes isn't a Kiwi.
Well, no, either. But his dad was, wasn't he? But Archer's from... I think Archer's from Barbados, and Morgan's from Ireland. It happens in every sport, and rugby league tries... I don't know. I don't know whether we think there's some sort of image we've got to uphold, but we've just got to relax. We've just got to enjoy ourselves a little bit.
You know what? Maskey. There was a journalist. It wasn't Maskey. It was a journalist from Australia that came over during the last World Cup, 2013. Wasn't it? Yeah, 2013 World Cup, and they talked about our problem, but also our strength. And they said the problem with rugby league is that it's a subculture. It's not a mainstream culture. Yeah. It's a subculture. And what always happens with subcultures, we become extremely defensive about our little niche in the market. Yeah. And we only want to do what we've always done.
Like, we always complain that more people don't watch it. But then when someone from outside the bubble sort of shows an interest in it, we get really defensive, like you say, get really aggressive
like
and start.
Like the Bulls have taken that to nearly 11,000 people.
I think Warrington have probably done something similar, haven't they, with all the stuff they've done this year. You know, like they did some stuff at the darts. They did some. They took Wolfie to the darts, didn't they, and the cricket and stuff like that. They went to the snooker, just trying to get new eyes on the sport. Because
Featherston, I remember Featherston did the video where they're smashing up the fax machines.
Yeah.
Do you remember that one?
Yeah. Wigan did the pie. Warrington did the pie one, didn't they, with Chris Sandow as well.
And everything that Gellin's done.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, Gellin.
You're talking about. The personalities.
Yeah.
So you were talking about the personalities. Do we need more of them?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think every team, you know, if you go into each team, you know, naturally, if you get a camera in the changing rooms like that, you'd definitely be able to spot out who that personality is in each team. But yeah, like I feel like some clubs and that, they don't want to tap into it too much. Like I said, they want to have a very clean perception of themselves. You know, they don't want anyone to think badly of them. But, you know, I don't think that's the case. I feel like a lot of people get a lot of enjoyment out of it, and that's how you get retweets, and that's how you get reaching out to other people.
LA Kings are the ice hockey team. The last time there was ice in Los Angeles was, I think, during the last ice age. And yet they sell out their stadium, 50,000 people in their stadium every single time they have a home game. So I don't know if it's every other week or every week. I'm not a big follower, but I just thought that was amazing. And one of the reasons for it is because their official social media platforms have the voice of the fan representing it.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's what we need. And look, then a bit of advice to you, Darnell, as you're on the beginning of your journey as a professional sportsman, don't lose your personality. I've seen it.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
Where people just, they're brilliant in the changing room. Put a camera in front of them, they're just like, oh, it's like pulling teeth.
The Westerman thing's a massive example as well. That ended up like getting in German newspapers and like Sports Illustrated.
Let's come back to that because I can see we've just crept into the time, and it's a brilliant piece, talking point as well, because it shows how mental you rugby players actually are, because you'd all do it. I wouldn't have done it, but that was the last generation. Okay, we're going to go to a break now. When we come back, we'll be talking about Akuala, we'll be talking about your questions, we'll be talking about Joe Westerman and his injury that he had on the field last week. So stick with us right here on the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show.
This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 2. Live on 1278 and 1530 AM, this is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show, live in the studio with Darnell McIntosh and Aaron Bauer. This segment's all about you guys. I got a post from Daniel C, and it's obviously someone I know because they've said, "Evening, Robert Rawuri," which is my middle name, which actually means David in English. Rawuri. I don't know, Brian McDermott, that's all he calls me, Rawuri. You just got to roll the R's. We've got a question here from... Actually, no, I wanted to pick up what we were talking about before. So, you're Westerman. Come on, tell us about it.
No, just that obviously we're talking about the product can speak for itself. It's so good, but the game is too busy like arguing with itself a lot of the time. And the Westerman thing's a prime example. It's not so much the product, is it, as like the skill, but the attributes of the players and what they put themselves through.
Yeah.
Westerman, obviously, summarising, like... His kneecap's come out of its socket on Thursday night, and he slapped it a couple of times and slapped it back into place, played the rest of the game. The physio tried to take him off, and he was saying to the coach, "Now I'm staying on, I'm finishing the game."
There was only three minutes left, but even so, I won't play three minutes. Yeah, exactly. There's two ways of looking at it. Well, there's only 3 minutes.
He played three minutes with his kneecap come out. But it sums up that, like, the players, really, you can market them to be absolute superstars. You know, like Westerman really looks like some sort of superhero now, doesn't he? To most people, to people in rugby league.
So you were explaining the reach that it got.
Yeah, and it ended up in German newspapers, Sports Illustrated. Sports Illustrated in America picked up on it. Huge reach, man, huge reach. And the interview, you know, the media that Westerman can do off the back of it, you know, like if Hull get to the cup final, like people outside of rugby league want to know about this guy now because he's done something that, while most people in rugby league are just like, wow, that's pretty impressive, a lot of people outside the sport are just like,
you know what, Lee Radford should have done. He should have owned that. He said, yes, this is the mentality that I put into my life.
Lee Radford's response was just like, he's done it in training a couple of times, so I want that impressed, basically. He's like, he's done it before, which sums up Lee Radford more than anyone else.
But to be honest, that's the type of thing Radders would do. If it was me, I would be like, squealing, bring in the helicopters, bring them all, fire engines.
You would hope,
ask for the police and the fire rugby league team to come along and help me out.
You would hope Super League, like, do something off the back of it, you know, like some media or some promo stuff with Westerman. Like, he could, you know, I don't know, football clubs are in pre-season training at the minute, like take him to a Hull City pre-season training and like go through fitness testing with them or something. I don't know, I'm just like spitballing, but the opportunities to reach out to fans of other sports here is, it's like, and there's, that's not the only time it happens, you know, like the skill you see. Makinson as an example, you know, the finishes he produces.
Some of Darnell's tries in the corner. He loves a Superman try. This guy, the practice, he's got no one around him.
Practice
the
one hand finishes on the crash mats, don't they? But like,
do you use Darnell?
I do because I think it's fun. I think it's fun. So me and a few younger lads.
I remember some of the things like that year. Cass were awesome 2 years ago. I think I remember seeing some like with Eden, and it showed like Eden, like a crash mat to the side, a crash mat on the floor, and he's like trying to get across in like as little space possible, and then measuring it and stuff.
Oh, yeah, right.
But just stuff like that, you
it
know.
Just looks
like,
cool.
But it's needed now, though.
When I was growing up, they were told, tuck the ball under your arm and dig your nose in. And how many people got knocked out then?
It comes down to inches, doesn't it?
All you need to do is get your centre of gravity beyond them, don't you? If your centre of gravity goes, then your arm will stay in.
Who was the one the other week? Might have been Makinson, who's like put the ball down, and his body's pretty much up in the air when he's putting the ball down one-handed. But this is the issue, that the game, too busy arguing with itself, you know, like all the league structure changes, all the CEOs arguing, you know,
should
like,
we or shouldn't we let teams into the competition?
We love it as the media because it creates news, but it'd be better if like the RFL just literally said no CEOs are speaking to the media. Just let the product speak for itself.
Don't get the opportunity to make
those
rules.
I hope they do keep speaking, but the product is product is incredible. You know, like you can take that out to new audiences, and like Canada's an example. You know, they've picked up on it. They get it. They get what it's all about. So there's you know, I just think moments like that with Westerman and other stuff is what the game needs to capitalise on.
Just before we move on from this, then Darnell, what would your what would you have done in those circumstances? Because I think what it does, when someone does that, I think it's impressive. I don't care who you are. That's impressive. Someone slaps his kneecap back into place and then plays on. So it kind of sets a standard for the rest of the rugby
100%,
players.
100%,
So it's like, you get a little scratch. Now you can't go off.
Yeah, that's it. We've got Aaron Murphy on our team. You know, if I've ever seen a person run around, you know, talk about tough people.
But he looks like he's been beat up.
He looks like he's had an hard time, you can tell, but
uphill
me
into
personally,
the snow and sleep.
I'm coming off there, mate. I'm gonna come off there. I'll faint.
Westerman's not young. You got a number of years ahead of you. Okay, this question from Johnny Morgate said, the Women's Football World Cup has been a huge success with thousands at every game and millions watching on TV. Do we think the Women's Rugby League can learn from this and progress the sport?
But like, Women's Rugby League's going good, you know, like
giving great exposure as well.
I think Cass are like the Cass got 1500 watching them the other week or something. Which is more than like some like clubs like Arsenal and Chelsea and their women's teams get. So it's pretty ridiculous that
it's more than some professional rugby league teams get for the
Well, like Cass get maybe 7,000, so it's like 20% of their fan base turning up and watching the women. They're threatening to take 1,000 to Wakefield on Sunday for the Challenge Cup semi-final. Pretty good, you know. And if you've got someone at the top setting the trend and leading the way like that, it can definitely capitalise. But yeah, the Women's World Cup stuff is quite interesting, because I always think beyond the England side of things with the women in the football, not really a lot of interest. They don't have a terrestrial telly deal or anything like that. So it's more how England build on it for 2021, isn't it? Because obviously the women fell short last night, losing in the semis. the next opportunity is, I guess, for England to build a side that can win the World Cup on home soil. But you've seen the exposure it can get. I mean, women in sport these days, rightly, is like it's a massive issue, isn't it? You know, everyone's talking about it. Everyone's trying to give it more exposure. So the more clubs that sign up to it, I think it's on the clubs, isn't it? You know, the clubs have got to take the onus with it because the talent is out there. I mean, some of the games are great. Watched a couple Saints Wigan the other week of some proper good scrapping going on and stuff. It's like same as the men's, really.
You know, one of the things that gets me with the women's game, there's a massive difference in the women's game between the haves and the have-nots. Do you know what I mean? Someone who's got great timing on their contact as well as being bigger goes up against someone who looks like they've just picked the ball up in the first year.
Yeah,
they are like whippers. They're really fast but don't know how to protect themselves.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a lot of difference in the women's game over here where you've got those that are new to the game with great athletic ability, don't know how to protect themselves, though, running into the wrong person. You see the biggest hits in rugby league in the women's game.
Yeah, you do.
I tell you, you won't find bigger hits than in the women's game. And that's because the differences in abilities between the haves and the have-nots in the game. And it's incredible. The Giants, they don't have a women's team, do they?
Don't think they do, no. But like Aaron said, it's probably down a bit more onto the clubs to, you know, put out that exposure themselves. And, you know, like I saying, you're getting people that are just with a raw natural ability. But, you know, if you expose the women's team a bit more, you know, and put them out there, then you're going to probably tap into a bit more of that raw natural ability that you're going to find.
And encourage
them in, you know. And if you get them in younger, you know, you get young girls that are only about 10, so get them interested. By the time they're 15, 16, they start getting involved, you know, even though they've got the raw natural ability, they'll understand the game a little bit better now to protect themselves, and it's only going to do good things for it.
I mean, the game down under has gone strength to strength. Yeah. It's semi-professional now there. They've got a great top-tier Super League in the women's, I don't know if they call it the Super League, but
it's like women's NRL, they call it, don't they?
And it's only an 8 or 10 team competition.
Yeah.
There's a lot of teams that just sit underneath them. Other women's teams from the other NRL teams that actually get really annoyed that they didn't get progressed into that top tier. But that's the big challenge because the women's team went down under in 2017 and it was a struggle for them. Mm. It really was. Of course, one of the top three nations, but the Samoan team is now coming on leaps and bounds for the women's team down under and the Tongan team, and that all the Pacific Island teams are all getting a lot stronger and there's a lot more emphasis put onto it as well. So challenging times. I think just tapping into what you were saying there, also, Darnell, is that the higher profile we can make the game, then we can actually pull across, you know, women that play squash, that play tennis, because they're great on their footwork, play netball, hand-eye coordination, speed, acceleration off the mark. You know, I think animal nature gets us up to speed on protecting ourselves, but great opportunities anyway. Great opportunities. Great question. Thank you very much, Johnny Morgate. I'm going to go to a break now, but before we do that, let's have a final look at the roads.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, live on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, to the final segment of this show, live in the studio with Aaron Bauer and Darnell McIntosh. Boys, one of the things actually we haven't spoken about yet, we'll get on to the upcoming games this weekend, but it is the Akwala. Sitaliki Akwala.
We're talking like that for?
That's just weird. So he's come under fire because he seems to be leaving people in bits and pieces with his running style. Who was it now?
Aaron Smith on Friday for St Helens. And then Titus Kwasi from Wakefield the week before and Scott Taylor the week before that.
So Justin Holbrook came out in the open and saying that his running style needs to be looked at. Seriously?
I don't
Seriously?
Know.
Seriously?
I have no idea. I'm not qualified enough. Ask the player would be my... I don't know. Is anything you see as a concern there with the way he carries the ball?
I'm lucky. I'm glad I'm not in middle. Yeah. Anyway, I'm lucky that I don't actually have to be dealing with it. Unless he breaks line, then, you know, it's going to have to be a leg tackle. But I don't know, you know, I think you got a few people that at the end of the day, I think he just wants to run the ball as hard as he can, which as some middles, you know, that's all you want him to do. Yeah. You know, that's the only job the coach.
Everyone carries the ball
on
different.
Bench, and put him onto the field and just say, your only job is just to hit as hard as you can and run that ball as hard as you can, no flashy stuff. And I think that's just his way of doing it. I don't think we can really get into him too much or change it. I think it's more for, that's what you do your preview for. You know how people run the ball. It's not like it's some surprise and he's doing it. You know, that's how he runs it. So to me, I personally, I don't think it's a massive issue.
I think it's one of those hard ones. Oh, sorry, Aaron, go on.
I don't know. I'm not massive on coincidences, but I think three people injured in 3 weeks is pretty telling. But don't get me wrong, we were talking off air, weren't we? And the Scott Taylor one, he definitely got his head in the wrong place.
Yeah.
So you'd probably discount that one. It's interesting that the other two are like
youngsters,
rookies, and not youngsters, rookies.
Yeah.
Like Guaze on debut. I think Aaron Smith's probably played less than 10 games. I don't know if there's anything in that, but the fact that the coaches are calling out for it, I'm just trying to find it now. I think the Laws Committee have said they're going to have a look at it, which is interesting.
If you look at something hard enough, you're going to find a problem with it.
Yeah,
You can find a problem with absolutely anything.
It's played at breakneck pace, the sport, that if you start breaking it down into slow motion and stuff, it's where it gets a bit confusing because it's not a true reflection, is it?
There's, what's it, Gordon Tellis. You go back in time, Leslie Vanicolo. All of these guys have damaged players time after time. These are just guys.
Fazard used to wear that big arm pot, didn't he? He used to carry the ball with that big arm pot.
Joe Vaganer.
Yeah. They were mentioning him.
Pellicino used to splash me all over
Joe
the place.
Joe Vaganer was the one they mentioned.
Pellicino used to just pick on me all the time. I think, here he comes again. And so I just think let's not look at it.
Price has stuck up for him, hasn't he?
We've got that's right. What's it? Steve Price's ghost saying.
He said that they should worry about how they tackle rather
that's
than...
That's right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think like, that's what
you
do. Do your own. Well, they say it's been young kids that have been damaged by it, probably inexperienced. They don't know how to handle that situation. But, a more older person, like you said, they've probably come against it before. They know how to go about it and stay safe.
Warren will be loving this because it gives them like...
More exposure.
More exposure, but also like puts a bit of a... Bit of an aura around Akoala, doesn't it? Makes him a bit of a threat. Makes him a bit of a focal point.
Yep.
So I think
we've got a supporter, Andrew Paul Bibby. He's just saying Sita a big lad, but doesn't get enough minutes. He reckons it's not Sita's fault if teams teach players not to go low. He thinks something's rubbish. It must mean something that I said. And he said also the kids didn't go low. You know, the tackle technique was upright, and. There is an argument, actually, focus on
that's what we're saying now. Maybe it's not a coincidence that these two lads who've been concussed or knocked out are rookies. You know, is the tackling technique all that sharp?
We've got to argue that, actually, okay, we've got three concussions, all right. But he's probably, in this country, he's probably been tackled over 500 times.
Yeah, and how many concussions do you see on a, like, I reckon pretty much every game there's at least one player going off for an HIA, isn't there?
Pretty much.
I reckon.
So I think probably grasping at straws there. I think I'm with Steve Price. I don't know. I don't want to stop. You can't stop people from running hard.
It's like you're taking it away from
trying
the player
to
again.
Sanitize the game.
And you know what? We've seen the problem that I mean, you end up looking a bit like rugby union. Mm. And if you want to look like everything else, then we're going to be on a loser. We've got to differentiate ourselves. We've got to have unique selling points.
Yeah.
We've already softened it by taking out the shoulder charge rule. And look, to the day I get put 6 feet under, I'm going to say that rule shouldn't have been changed. Again, it's a technique thing. If you get it wrong sometimes, hasn't stopped. There's an argument to say there's more head injuries. Obviously, the HIA rule has come in, but more head injuries have happened since taking out that rule. The implementation of HIA is probably they're looking at a little bit more, but still, it's a dynamic thing that used to make up 70% of the actual highlight reels.
Yeah.
So we lose it. Anyway, that's enough on that. Anyway, just quickly, having a look at the upcoming games this weekend, Darnell, how do you guys prepare? Because short turnaround from Sunday's game to kick off tomorrow night.
Yeah, well, obviously, we played on
Salford versus Huddersfield.
Played on Friday, now we're playing on Thursday. So we've only had proper field session and then just run through today. But, you know, it's a lot more of just self-reflection, really, going away, doing your own preparation and then just making sure when we come together as a team, everything needs to be sharp, everything needs to be on point because really only going to get one crack at it. And, every team goes through it, you know, these short turnarounds and that. So it's not an excuse for us at all. And I thought we've probably thrived off it a little bit more. It's kept us a little bit fresh, you know. We've managed it pretty well with how long we've been on field. So, we've prepared really well.
We like fans and media and everything pick Hastings out as the main man for them, and everything goes through him in our eyes. When you've prepped and you've watched them this week, is that the way you see it as well? Is he the go-to guy?
You can't hide it. You know, I think they have got quality all over the field, but obviously each team has one or two standout players that, whether they control the field, you know, getting to them so they can't kick as well or such. But he just seems to be on the end of everything, you know, try scoring, you know, break passes, try passes, you know, his run meters has been averaging, I think, 118 we saw a game for an halfback to run 118 meters a game, you know. It's really good, that. Mm. So obviously he's a dangerous player.
Yeah, really good or greedy, eh?
Yeah. You know, he's always trying to come up with something, but, you know, that it can go really good or really bad for him. So our job's just to get into him.
We haven't got much time left, but just having a look. Castleford at home to Leeds Rhinos. Wigan at home to Hull KR. Two of those teams sitting on the bottom of the barrel with you. This is a great opportunity for Huddersfield, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, we probably can't get a bit better weekend really to, you know, start breaking away from the bottom of that table where we don't want to be. So hopefully, yeah, these other two games, you know, they go in our favour and we go out and do our own stuff and get the right result.
Well, it looks like it's going to be an exciting weekend starting tomorrow night. Huddersfield Giants taking on Salford Red Devils at the AJ Bell Stadium. That's it from us tonight. Thank you for listening.
This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.